I said, what you know about it?
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
Hello, hello. You're listening to The Stew. My name is Jason Stewart. This is my food podcast. Andre Conaparo, say hello.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Zach Brooks brunch. Is in the building. We had to call in the big dogs once again.
Called the wolf.
You are a wolf.
Oh, what? You? Why didn't you call in Zach Brooks? That's all you had to say, motherfucker.
I'll do that to myself. That's fine. I'll talk about myself in that way.
Yeah, are you a silver wolf? Not a silver fox. But you're a little silver.
I think I'm more of a bear if I was going to be anything.
I see a little Keitel in you.
Little Keitel. You're not unbear-like. You're a little cubby though, I will say.
Yeah, obviously.
There's still time for you. For listeners at
home. Are bear cubs a thing?
Yes. Bear cubs
like
are
there's
a thing.
Bears and then there's bear cubs.
There's bears and then cubs. Yep. They're not called bear cubs. They're called cubs.
Yeah. If you're on the bear cub cusp,
yeah,
then I guess you could see.
There's lots.
No, I'm straight up.
There's
cub.
Also otters. There's a lot going
I've
on.
I've heard
there.
About that, but I don't remember what it is.
They're just unhairy cubs.
This is my.
I'm definitely not
classifying
that.
Gay people podcast.
Welcome to my.
Wait,
podcast
is that what we were talking
stereotypes?
About?
Stereotypes.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about.
I was just talking about animals that I look like. It's a game I play with my kids.
You get getting them started early. I like that.
Yep. There you go.
We talk about sriracha flavored potato chips.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. New item
good.
At Trader
really
Joe's.
Good. Really good.
They are good.
Not too
I
spicy.
I usually don't reach for the sriracha flavored anything, but Trader Joe's sriracha flavored lattice cut potato chip. Zingy.
I'm a man that tries to keep as much snack food out of the house as possible, but if I go to Trader Joe's hungry, accidents happen. And what happened this time? Was a blessing.
Yeah, I mean
disguise.
That's really what Trader Joe's is good for nowadays. Like as you get older and you go there for a while, you realize like their produce is shit.
Yes,
and like a lot of their stuff is not really that great as you thought it was. Like
no,
you know, like their meats and slice, you know, their fish and all that stuff is
no.
Like,
but their snacks are
pretty bad. But their snack game is so crazy.
Their booze game, price point
yeah,
wise,
yeah.
Very tight.
So good for a party. That's it. Or, you know, a college student person. Zach, anyway.
Well, that's it. I feel like Trader Joe's is like when you're like in your late teens, early 20s and starting to like kind of take care of yourself. You're like, look, I'm an adult shopping at Trader Joe's. I got the hummus.
I got
feeling good about it.
I got my feeling case of it. Charles Shaw.
Yeah, I'm an adult. I take care of myself. I shop at Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Syrah's today.
For $1.99. Yeah, I'm an adult.
Syrah's.
Yeah, I drink wine.
For listeners who don't know, Zach has done this podcast a bunch of times. He has his own show, Food is the New Rock, which, you know, it's a great show. You've done a little too many live shows lately, though.
Nice of you to say. Oh yeah, not into it, huh? Not into our.
I'm saying just in general for podcasts, I usually skip over the live episodes.
Huh.
Even though, but that's just personally me. But like other shows will do it. Like comedians will have their podcast and they'll have a guest on, and we're just gonna sit down and really get into some shit for 2 hours
right.
In a quiet room. But then they do the live show, and they're sort of like playing for the room.
Sure.
There's like background distractions.
If it makes you feel any better, there was like nobody watching at South by Southwest. So all of our episodes were really not playing for any room, but the people listening
knowing that,
at home.
Knowing that something that you did didn't work out so well does make me feel better.
Yeah, a lot better. A lot better.
What do you mean nothing? Knowing that nothing I do works out well? It just looks like that. Publicly, and that's all that's important is the lesson I've learned from living in Los Angeles.
The Schadenfreude is strong with this one.
The world of LA podcasting. We like to pull.
No, I mean what we did at South by is just us record. It's the same as recording just regular episodes. It just happened to be at South by. Like it's.
But there
like
is a small studio audience.
Yeah, but it's not.
But that doesn't affect you.
No, I mean if anything, I think it makes it a little better because. It makes you conscious of how bored people are as they walk out. Okay. In the middle. So you're like, all right, maybe we should start talking about something
different. Up. All right.
Yeah, let's talk about something different. Or if people, you know, you get instant gratification, so you sort of know.
If a couple of your jokes land, you start to feel like, a little, you got a little swag in you.
Live by the sword, die by the sword.
I'm surprised you feel this way, considering that, you know, you've been on our live, haven't you done, we've done live podcasts together.
We have done it before, and it's awesome to get the instant gratification if something you say gets a good reaction for the crowd, but it can be nerve-wracking, and I feel like,
you know what's worse than listening to live podcasts? People talking about doing live podcasts.
I mean, if you're listening to a podcast, you have opinions about podcasting, and there's probably other people who can relate. We get into it, man.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right.
We get in deep.
Well, it's a muscle that's not intrinsic to podcasting, public performance. Mm-hmm. And it's something that if you don't do professionally, you probably don't do ever. You know, like if you're not a stand-up comedian, somebody who's a motivational speaker, whatever it is, when you get put on a stage like that, that's like something that you do not do very often, and it takes like a lot of practice.
Yeah, I feel like Andre on a stage, who knows what could happen?
Not so good, probably.
I'm a natural, but...
You are right. A natural.
I do feel bad for the people that have to look at me.
I'm a natural.
That's the sad thing.
I come out swinging. 'Cause
that's really... I feel the same when I do it. But I think it's people.
But I'm sure when they hear your,
it's easier to listen to me than it is to look at me.
Yeah, but when they hear your voice,
how much do you hate yourself?
A lot.
No, just kidding.
A lot.
But like, what do you mean? What do you?
Do you know
look
how many kids? Do you know how many kids I have?
He's Jewish.
No, I'm Jewish.
He's Jewish and he has kids.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, yeah. What more do you need?
But also, if somebody listens to your show and hears that voice of yours,
right? There's no.
Nobody's going to be like. Surprised. Wait, he doesn't look like George Clooney?
Surprised. I think actually the biggest thing that I get is, I expected you to be fatter. That's the thing that, which...
So you,
but I feel like is a success. That's look, actually
you
a
set
compliment.
The bar low.
It's a huge
and then
compliment.
You're like, oh.
It's the whole point. And then I said, I turned to my wife and I'm like, see?
Mm-hmm.
I could be eating
I don't
more.
Need to go to the
yeah,
gym.
Exactly.
See?
You went from obese to just pleasantly plump. Yeah. I'm just husky.
Well, there's been some... There's a definite amount of self-deprecating fat jokes you've made on the podcast that we've done.
That's
so
all
I would
do.
Imagine
if that annoys you, don't listen to my podcast.
Like, what did you do to get in shape for Coachella? Yeah.
What was your Coachella
Dude,
diet?
Can I tell you, I actually
did you go to Coachella?
I not only did I go to Coachella, I planned out Coachella fashion for at least one of the days.
Wow,
you
know
very
that
excited.
Was a, that was a
I
trend.
Bought a new outfit and I wore it. I was gonna wear it day one, but then when it came down to it, I was like, you know what? I think this is more of a day two thing.
Was this a fashion or function situation where you're like, oh, I don't have any hot clothes, no good
right,
shirt,
I need a tank
no,
top.
No, this was, yeah. I saw a shirt on Instagram and I was like,
oh,
I need that
shit.
For Coachella.
This is
and
deep.
Then I went and I bought the shirt because I was like, I have to wear this at Coachella.
Right.
I don't know if I want to know if this shirt had like a food pun written on it.
What size free Winona
obviously,
shirt did you end up buying?
Obviously it did.
All right,
yeah.
Let's try
no,
and guess
not,
what
I,
this...
When I say fashion, that's with gigantic air quotes around it.
You mean it was like a clever foodie-related
yeah,
pun
I'm
that
still,
happened to be printed on right, a garment?
It's just a Funyun
yes,
logo
and,
t-shirt?
And I am mm-hmm. and I am just kidding. I did wear it to Coachella, but I obviously
all right,
would
what,
not call it fashion.
What food. Don't tell me what it said. Just tell me what food.
You didn't
food.
See the shirt? You didn't see it?
I may have seen it, but I don't remember. Oh,
it's the greatest shirt
what
of
was
all
the
time.
Food item?
The food item? Well, it's sort of the food item is what the shirt says. So I can tell you where it's from.
Mm-hmm.
It was from a great place here in Los Angeles called Kofax.
Oh,
and
okay.
They have like fun like shirts and hats. I mean, they're on Fairfax across from Supreme and all those shops.
Right.
So they have like for Prime Pizza, which is their pizza place, and for Kofax, they have like fun. Like,
their merchandise is
yeah.
a little bit better than a normal
yeah,
thing.
Like shirts and hats and stuff. And they put out a new shirt a couple days
is
before.
Is it donut Coachella. Related?
Is it bagel related?
Nope.
Is it coffee related?
Nope. Mm. There's only one thing left on the menu.
Pie?
No, there's no pie at Kofax.
There's pie
breakfast
Kofax.
Burrito.
You got it.
Oh boy.
Breakfast
you wore
burrito.
A breakfast burrito t-shirt.
I did.
Oh Lord!
And it was made to look like the Bernie Sanders logo.
Oh,
instead
you
of
know
saying
what?
Bernie, it said burrito, and then 2016.
You know what? I did see that shirt, yeah. And I thought it was a good shirt.
Great shirt.
I thought it was a good shirt.
The only downside of the shirt was I feel like most people at Coachella just thought I was wearing a Bernie shirt.
Yes, definitely.
Like, there was no...
Which in lies the amazing part of it. And a friend of mine actually made a similar shirt. It was the Bernie 2016 logo, and then it was just a picture of Bernie Mac's face.
Right.
Right.
Which is a great shirt.
Is there, who's the better Bernie? Not sure.
I do.
I mean, but what if I'm with her? I mean, then, mm-hmm. I don't want people thinking that.
Well, I'm glad your shirt worked out well. Let's talk about your Coachella experience, because I feel like you did the full food.
Yeah.
And I did the full just
yeah,
party.
Can I just tell people to go listen to our Coachella episode of the podcast and not tell you anything?
Is it a live one?
So, Coachella was great. We actually...
You don't need to listen to the other show.
I went with... the funny thing about what we did was we recorded an episode of Coachella where we just did, like... We talked before and after each day.
That's
and
hilarious.
And just went over everything we did. But it was with my friend Jeff Miller, who runs Thrillist. And mm-hmm. And then we brought in Josh
Larger
Scherr.
Larger than life.
Josh Scherr from LA Mag. He's like the assistant food editor at LA Magazine. And we found out a week before Coachella that he's never been to a concert.
Wait, is this the Whoa. Guy who we is this the guy who we did the thing with?
What thing?
When we recorded the...
No. He hasn't been on any of our... But he works at LA Mag. He is an adult human.
Who's never been to a concert?
He had never been to a concert.
Has he touched a boobie before?
And his first concert was Coachella.
Is he North Korean?
This past weekend. No, dude, and this was the thing is that, like, Jeff, who's been to, like... he goes to 3 concerts a week.
Right.
I mean, he's always at concerts for his entire life. He was, like, shocked and just spent the whole podcast making fun of Josh. For me, I was like, I want to know how this happens.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of person you are. Like, I'm so fascinated because here's the crazy thing about it is he's – like, my first question was, like, are you Amish? Like, did you grow up Amish?
Yeah.
Like, was your dad, like, the pastor from Footloose? Like, I don't – like, how do you go through your whole life? But here's the crazy thing. Totally normal. He grew up in O.C., he went to UCLA.
Whoa.
How do you go to college at a big college that does tons of free concerts?
Yeah.
I mean,
every year for
the kids, right? Like, they have great concerts. If you're a student,
how would you describe his personality? Because I can, like, well, if I grew, can picture this. If you are a certain,
if he grew up in Orange County and he is young.
He is only like 23.
Okay, if he's only 23, then the
it's
age
not like 40-year-old virgin situation.
The right. age but. That he would start going to concerts is after Bradley from Sublime died, so there's no reason to go
yeah,
to a live
it.
Show.
But dude, even
that's
he
it.
Went to UCLA. To me, that's the thing. Like, yeah. anybody who's
you trip and fall in UCLA, you land in a concert.
Right, exactly.
You land in the pit.
And you have to, like, consciously decide not to go
does
to concerts with your friends if you go to college at a place like UCLA.
Does he ever listen to music? Is he one of those people where it's like, oh, I don't watch TV.
No,
oh, I
don't
listen
thing.
To music.
He's
I
like,
don't do
he's
this.
Like, he's like, I want to go see Major Lazer. I want to go see, and I'm like, I don't even know who you're talking about. So he listens to music. It's crazy.
That
so
is we, really crazy.
So we,
is he
we
fat?
Basically, no. He is
video games.
He's one of those. He is
League of Legends.
If you didn't know him that well, you would think he was like a
sorcerer,
like a
level 4.
like a bro, like a frat guy bro. But once you get to know him, he's a really cool, smart guy. I mean, it was very surprising.
People think the same thing about me as well. We come from a similar upbringing.
Maybe, but no, I mean, like, he actually looks like a
He's
girl.
Wearing a Hurley board he short like tank top combo right now.
Does he have any tour shirts from Urban Outfitters?
I don't
ironically
know.
Wearing them around.
But well, yeah, so we went to Coachella with him and basically, like, talked to him about Coachella for the whole weekend.
Did you eat any space cakes? Any
I don't know what's
egg rolls with PCP in them.
Yeah, did you dose this guy when he came down to the first concert?
But I will say I did run into a old podcast guest who was headlining one of the tents, and he gave me some chocolate, which I took a very small bite of. And
what was it, Axel?
I should have taken a bigger bite.
Yeah,
but
I was hoping the story was that he didn't recognize you.
Oh no! But yeah,
who was this person?
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. A person who was on your show who headlined Coachella.
One of the tents. No. Not the main stage. One of the tents.
Still.
Mm-hmm. DJ, yeah.
You don't.
So that was the extent of my
dubfire.
my whatever.
How high
your journey?
Yeah, dude, they were these fancy chocolates. The tops were like painted. They looked like Jacques Torres, like
right,
whatever. And they were in like a Godiva looking box, like wrapped and everything, made with like Peruvian cacao. It was crazy.
That's the kind of stuff that you only see backstage in like the artist area at Coachella.
Oh, we weren't backstage. We were in like the Rose Garden.
Because like whenever I get like an artist
pass at
Coachella. Whenever I get an artist pass, like you meet a woman like, oh, my only job is to like give crazy high level drugs to famous people. And just like, here's my card. I do like a cocaine delivery service.
Well, that's the funny thing about Coachella. Like, so I was posting photos of the food all weekend on Food is the New Rock. And a lot of the food's in the VIP area. So I had friends who'd never been to Coachella being like, ah, fuck you and your VIP bullshit. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like at Coachella, VIP
is
just a more expensive ticket.
Right.
Like, and they call it VIP to make
more
people
money.
Feel good about spending more money, like, and make them feel important. Real VIPs get guest passes or artist passes, which is the next level up, and that's what gets you like backstage or into like the better, like the little pens in front of every stage.
Artist
where you can
pass.
Like those are the good passes. VIP passes don't get you jack shit except decent bathrooms and access to better food.
Yeah, there's just like a giant chain link fence the size of two football fields, and like if you spend an extra $100, you could stand on this side of it instead.
Yeah.
With like here's 10,000 people, you could eat a slice of pizza with them, or you can go out here.
But it's crazy. I mean the food in the VIP over the past 3 years has definitely gotten like it is crazy good now.
You go every year.
I've been the past 3 or 4 years.
I mean, the best thing I ate there was the Kazunori.
Were you there this year? No.
Yeah, I was.
You were there this past weekend?
Yes.
I mean, no text, no like let's hang out or anything. I didn't realize
you were there. I didn't really go to the festival except for like 2 hours.
I get it. You had an artist pass or whatever.
I didn't have an artist pass. I didn't want to go to the festival at all. I just Sam and I were both doing some like parties and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, thanks for the invite to those parties.
That's how I feel.
I don't like parties anyway.
It's not for you.
I don't like parties. It's not for you. You're like we invited you last year and we were embarrassed.
You're like, I hear you got a pool up there. It's like, yeah, we got a pool. Pond. We got a pond, too.
Well,
pond
I know that you're not going to do it. It's like, hey, I play at 1 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Or, you know.
Oh, it's that kind of thing.
Stuff like that where
right,
I know,
right.
like, you're not going to,
well,
like, come
you know,
get.
I'm just saying, it's nice to get the invite.
Fair enough.
That's actually the best time to invite me places, when you know I'm not going to come. Because then you get the credit for inviting me, and you... I feel like we're friends and I'll do favors for you, but you don't actually have to hang out
totally
with me.
I would totally do that
because
I would never come.
See, every time he asks me to watch his dog, that's what I hope is going to happen, where it's like, oh, you know what? It's cool. I don't need it. And I'm like, well, all right, man. Anytime, though.
But
anytime.
I said, yeah, right.
But
you say yes.
Like, but you say yes, and it's like, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Got the street cred. You owe me one, bud, because I said yes.
The Kazunori thing is unbelievable. And people are like, oh, like, you think you wouldn't want to eat sushi out in the desert in super hot weather.
No.
But it's like an oasis.
It's exactly what you want.
And then you also think like, oh, you know, freaking sushi, like at Coachella and the VIP or whatever, it's going to be like super expensive and not good. And it is actually the best deal at Coachella. It's the best deal. When a slice of pizza costs $7... to be able to get 3 hand rolls from a place like Kazunori for $15, I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
I'm going to need some details, bitches.
Well, the Kazunori is a restaurant in L.A., downtown.
But describe the situation here, like the Coachella
situation
setup.
The setup is they have a bar, like a 12-seat bar. You fill out your little card just like downtown. You sit down at the bar, you hand them their card, and they start putting down hand rolls in front of you. And
that's awesome.
And 3 rolls for $15, like, I think in downtown,
it's like three rolls
for $12 or 3 rolls for $14. Yeah. It's like almost the exact same price. And then 4 rolls is $19. So you're basically paying an extra $4 for a scallop hand roll.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's better than good. Like, it is. Yeah. I mean, Kazunori is...
Was
really
it was the
good.
Line nuts for it or
I mean,
when I went it was probably no more than 10 minutes wait.
Yeah.
I mean, the word's definitely out. So if you try to go at 7 or 8 o'clock on any night, like there's definitely a line. And they run out. I think
it really wasn't
they were closed by like 10 or 10:30 on a couple of the nights.
Because every other place, like, it's like, here's Superba food, or like, here's like all these dumb restaurants in LA, and like, we're doing this one thing, and it's going to take forever, and it's going to cost too much money, and it's not going to be that good. But then this place, it's, they just had it down so
perfectly.
There
were people serving poke right next door, restaurants that I love, that I legitimately think are great, but there were places like right next door to Kazunori serving poke for anywhere from 15 to 20 bucks, or ceviche like for 20 bucks, or poke for 15 bucks. And you're like, dude, like, why am I paying 20 bucks for a decent ceviche when I could pay 15 bucks or 19 bucks and get great a sit down like hand roll meal from Kazunori? It really is.
Yeah,
such,
a guy, like a Japanese person who's watching how fast you're eating it. And, you know, so when you finish it, you have 30 seconds to breathe, and then he makes you another perfect one.
That's the other thing. It's super quick, too.
Puts it right down in front of you.
You eat in 15 minutes at the
most. There's no tip. It's already all included. They're like, please don't tip. Here's
cash only, though. That's the only thing that sucks.
Yeah, but like Sam and I had a full lunch. I got two glasses of sake, and it was, you know, it was like 50 bucks.
You felt civilized for 15 minutes.
That's so funny, because that's literally a cheap good meal in LA.
Oh yeah,
a little bit of sake, like a few drinks, and you leave full, and it's great. I mean, 50 bucks is a steal.
Yeah, I mean, I got like a little thing, maybe like 5 ounces of nice cold sake in a cute Japanese container, and I think it was like $7 or $8. And then 50 feet away, there's a wine merchant.
$14.
$16 for a glass of wine. $7 for a 2 ounce taster of it.
Ugh,
and I was like, "Is how much do these bottles cost?" And the woman working there was just like, "You should just go somewhere else." Like, I'm sorry.
I apologize.
I mean, that's a lot of money for a glass.
If
I
pay $16 for a glass of wine, I mean, I'm expecting something pretty special. Yeah. No, I mean, that might be hyperbole, but we're
talking about. I mean, I feel like when you look at Coachella, you're talking about like a Staples Center situation, right? You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, I mean,
You're
going to
get a tall boy of Bud Light, and it's going to cost $18.
Right. It doesn't bother the ridiculous of the prices. The expensiveness of the prices at Coachella, I don't hold against them. Like, I've never, you know, $7 for a piece of spicy pie, it's always been like $6 or $7.
Right.
Like, it's always been super expensive. And you know what? You just do it. Like, that's what it is.
No, but
when something comes along that is a great deal, like Kazunori, I'm going to get excited about that, like, more than I'll criticize the other people. Like, the Kazunori thing really is just a surprisingly, shockingly good
deal. Do you think, because I was also thinking about, because they're related to Sugarfish, right?
Yep.
And I've noticed that there, and then I had sushi last night at Sushi Gen, and I feel like the trend of having seaweed be warm and very crispy and very loosely wrapped. You know how like those hand rolls are where like the seaweed is very loosely wrapped around it. It's almost, because like normally if you get a hand roll, it's kind of like the seaweed gets a little soggy and it sort of like congeals and is part of the rice. Like even if you just get a cut roll or something like that. Yeah. There's like a weird trend where the rice is sitting inside of it and the seaweed is like a perfect sphere and it's like it's almost like a glass tube. And you bite into it and the seaweed crunches in your mouth and it's warm and you could tell that the quality of it is somehow higher or they've done something to it. And I feel like that trend is happening. And then I had sushi last night at Sushi Gen, like a little uni where they like have the little mound of rice and then they do the little seaweed bed and put the uni on top. And that's the same thing happened. Like it was like very brittle, kind of shattering seaweed. And I think that's like I think it's a sushi
you think
trend.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
I'm forecasting the trend.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I've never heard of this. I'd like to hear some outside validation.
Like from somebody who actually knows what they're talking about remotely.
I was going to throw knowledgeable in there as well, but outside validation.
I think we've eaten a lot of sushi.
No, sure.
Yes.
We pay attention to what we're eating.
No, I'm saying I have no doubt that that what you're describing is a thing.
Mm-hmm. I was.
It makes sense. It sounds logical.
I like that even in something as sacred as traditional sushi where nothing has changed in 1,000 years that little advancements can be made to make it better. Don't you guys?
Yeah. Or it also could be something that has been like popular or some ingredients or things that have been done in Japan forever, but just
our
sushi palate hasn't really caught up to that yet because people are still like, it could be something like that as well. Like they're just investing in higher quality nori because it's worth it to people, and people notice the difference now, and though they're willing to pay more money. I don't know.
It's worth it. Let's talk about the episode. You did an episode with the child daughter from Mad Men on your show.
Oh yeah, Kiernan Shipka.
That's I don't know about that name.
Kiernan Shipka.
She's like a full adult food blogger now.
Yeah. She's not an adult. She's like 16. Her mom came with her to the podcast. It was amazing.
But I mean, but it's weird because it weirds me out because like I love Mad Men.
Yep.
And it doesn't seem like Mad Men is from the 90s. Like I remember like not too long ago looking at this person as like a 3-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Like crying for her mommy. And now.
And kind of annoying too. Like her character on the show is like.
She's a little bitchy.
Yeah. Like is kind of annoying.
Petulant.
And so, yeah, I didn't really. I mean, I've been following. I knew
I mean,
she's
I would
like
be annoying
really,
too if I was in her situation. Okay.
Well, no, she's acting. She's an actor. In real life, she's amazing.
Okay.
She is.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I just understood how acting works. But it's so. I mean, I don't know if I feel old, but like, yes. I feel like time has gone by so quickly with her.
She is. Well, this is the thing, is she is deceptively old. Like, she is not that old. Like, she is a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is 16. Like, her mom came with her to the podcast.
But, like, I'll go to a hipster coffee shop in L.A. and I'll see her there her cell phone talking to people as a full adult person.
It's Hollywood, baby.
It is Hollywood. But, I mean, I'm just thinking of what I was doing when I was 16. Like, the thought of me being a guest on a food show.
She's the new Drew Barrymore, you know, just getting old fast.
I know, but people are doing that without, like, starting to do coke at 12, okay. Like Drew Barrymore
you know
was.
I see what you're saying, because I had that moment with her on the podcast where I was like, I don't get it. Like, is this cool to your friends? Like, I thought that, like, I don't know. I mean, I could see how in your 30s you start to really get into food, right? But the... You know, I still, yeah, I mean, I definitely was like, I don't, this is...
Especially as a non-Asian.
So that's offensive, but whatever. Yeah, I was like, but she is, I don't know, she is the coolest. She's mm-hmm. really cool and like mature and smart and awesome. And she's really into food. Good taste.
Humans are advancing too quickly, man.
You think?
It's weirding me out.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I got nothing for you.
Let's talk about.
Yeah, I mean, you want me to start complaining about how old I feel? Like, I don't think that's where you want this podcast to go. Yeah, no.
I did that a lot last podcast.
I've done that a lot in life.
I felt very old.
To the point where at Coachella the. The person who gave me the chocolate was just like, stop calling yourself old. I was literally just for 10 minutes talking about how old I am. And then when I went to take a bite, I was like, how big a bite should I take? Because, I mean, look at me. I am old. Like, is the mushrooms that was put into this chocolate the same kind of mushrooms that I ate in 1996? Because I need to know standpoint how things have changed.
Wait, I didn't know it was a mushroom chocolate, Zach.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm so old, I don't know what drugs are anymore.
Good for you.
No, I wish it was good for me. I took way too small a bite. Very disappointing.
So
yeah.
1 out of 10, how much did you feel?
Like a 1. And I think it was mostly just anxiety over what was going to happen.
Right. Yeah, Jewish people should not take mushrooms.
Well, I mean, you know.
There's too much going on in that head of yours.
That is definitely true. But, I mean, listen, you know, I mean, in college there were... couple experiences that, you know, I wouldn't mind reliving. It's good stuff.
It's not going to happen for us.
Drugs. A young man's game.
I'm just afraid of dying.
It is a young man's game. Yeah, you're afraid of jumping off the 405 naked because you're the lizard king.
Yeah.
Because a bowl of ramen is chasing you.
But there is no question that anxiety is a big part of all of my drug experiences.
There you go,
man.
It's like 50% of what I feel.
You're like, do you guys have any chocolate Xanax?
The feds is on it.
Let's talk about Smorgasburg.
Yes.
Smorgasburg is
huge.
It's a big,
huge.
It's a big kind of street fair, festival, food, flea market kind of thing in New York.
Yep.
That's now coming to LA this summer. and you are in charge.
It's a weekly event.
I am. I'm helping.
Weekly.
I am sort of.
You're not in charge of the whole thing.
I am in.
Part of the team.
I am part of the team. Yes.
You're lending your LA hand.
Yes,
into
I
it.
Am. Yes.
So you're in charge of sort of booking all the people, all the vendors in there.
Yeah. So I mean, it's. So yeah, it is. So Smorgasburg started as it didn't start as the Brooklyn Flea, but there was the Brooklyn Flea in New York. There was like a hipster flea market. I hate using that word, but you know, this is a really awesome flea market opened in Fort Greene, and it became this huge thing. And they had a little bit of food, and then the food became super popular. And so they spun the food off into its own event called Smorgasburg. And now there's Brooklyn Flea that happens on Saturday and Sunday, and a Smorgasburg that happens every Saturday, Sunday, in the warm weather months in New York. In different places, and it changes every season. And then they do indoor markets when it gets cold, and they've got an upstate market that just launched and that sort of stuff. And anyway, they've been trying to come to LA, or people have been trying to get them to come to LA for years. And then they're finally coming in June. And even though we're calling it Smorgasburg, it's actually going to be a mix of the two. So there will be some what we lovingly call flea stuff. So there's gonna be
food items.
Yeah, cool stuff like that.
My bracelets.
Yeah, antique-y stuff and furniture and vintage clothing and
Nazi memorabilia.
All the good toe rings,
Zippo, the guy with the Zippos.
Yeah. There's gonna be an area for hacky sacking. no, that's not true. I shouldn't say that. And then we're gonna have food. Food to eat. It's not gonna be a farmer's market or anything like that.
It's gonna be I make a dish, a specific food item, and I'm gonna make it for you for money.
It's basically gonna be the best place to eat in LA on Sundays. Every Sunday.
Shots fired.
And we've got a gigantic parking lot, which I'm very excited about.
And it was interesting when Jason and I were talking about it months ago when he was telling me about it, I was like, I hope they have parking.
Well, that's the no, and
he's like, they have a lot. I was like, well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that's to me is the whole thing. When they told me they were coming, because I've known those guys forever. Having moved here from New York, and they've been coming here for years, and we've hung out and gone eating tacos together and whatever.
So, what are some examples of food items that will be sold? First off, what's the over under on people who submit things that actually get in?
We've been excited about, well, not excited, but I mean, it's definitely been really competitive. We're really excited about,
fun telling people no?
No, definitely not. It's very upsetting and I try to avoid it whenever I can. No, it sucks because everybody, there are tons of great people doing really cool things. And in New York, Smorgasburg is really an incubator for new concepts and stuff, and a lot of concepts have gotten their start at Smorgasburg. So it's we're bringing that here as well. That's going to be a big part of the market is here, but then we also have some really cool well-known people doing the stuff they've always done or some new stuff. But regardless, most of the stuff at Smorgasburg, you won't be able to get anywhere else. You'll only be able to get it places farther away.
Is there beer?
I think there's going to be, we're still working on all that stuff. But I think there will be some sort of alcoholic beverages.
Yeah, can I get wasted at this thing or what?
I don't know.
How does it feel?
I'm not an official mouthpiece for this thing.
How does it feel wielding the power for all these chefs in LA who want to make food?
I don't think it's quite there yet because, it's, this is a brand new thing. So I don't think, I think we're all... It's been more of me going to people and being like, you really want to do this. This is going to be awesome. But now I think that we've announced the first group of vendors that are going to be there. I think people are starting to realize, oh, this is actually going to be a pretty amazing thing.
I think
my power will just only continue to grow with time.
A god who walks among mortals.
I actually have no power. I'm just helping.
Oh, we know. Who's a vendor that you're very excited about?
I don't know. I mean, well, I mean, one of the first vendors that I was super excited about was Gorilla Taco. Mm. We're going to be there Sunday. We're going to be their Sunday spot.
Still never had Gorilla Taco.
That's crazy.
It's awesome. See,
and I feel like there's a lot of people who sort of haven't had Gorilla Taco, like, because you're either like not in Culver City on Wednesdays or you're not exactly sure where they're parked. But mm-hmm.
I always get them at Silver Lake Wine. That's when I make my journey over.
Mm. Yeah, so I'm excited. I feel like people who have that specific spot, like for me, Culver City, I live in Culver City, they're there on Wednesday, so I sort of know any Wednesday I want it. But I'm excited because I feel like on Sundays, I feel like there's a ton of people that are going to come to Smorgasburg who've never had Gorilla Taco, but are going to be like, oh, shit, like I've always wanted to have Gorilla Taco, and there it is.
Sure.
Like, and then on the taco front, we also have Carnitas El Momo. Mm. Which is
your fave?
Which is my fave. I mean, they are the best carnitas vendor in LA. So we're going to be there Sunday. They're going to set up on Sunday morning. So I'm excited about that as well because I feel like a lot of people haven't really like gone to like Boyle Heights to check them out like on the weekends.
Oh, so you're going to be getting a lot of personal satisfaction. Like, eh? I told you.
No. I feel like
I feel like,
and same with Burritos Las Palma, which is this. Burrito place in El Monte.
Yeah, that and, I've never had.
Yeah, like, and I feel like most people like are not willing to drive to El Monte, and this place makes the best flour tortillas in the city. Mm. And then they do these Zacatecan burritos. Is that what the, I don't know?
Yeah,
I'm really.
Yeah, that's the right pronunciation.
And
that's
it's
a word.
I think that's the kind of burritos. I might be wrong. Bill Esparza might be listening to this, being like fucking idiot. But it's like a they fill they're like guisados burritos. Basically, they fill their burritos with this like stewed meat.
Stew?
And it's like these little sort of miniature burritos. So you get like a combo with like two or three of them.
Oh,
and
nice!
Unbelievable. So we're like excited to be bringing them closer.
That is really exciting.
Yeah.
I love a baby burrito.
It is a baby burrito.
Do they have tiny Coronas too?
Coronitas.
And then we have some like cool people doing new concepts. So one of the ones I'm most excited about is Nicole Rucker, who was the pastry chef at Justa, and is now at Kofax doing all of their donuts and stuff. She is a national pie champion.
Yeah.
And so she is opening a pie stand at Smorgasburg called Rucker's Pie. And it's going to be like an old country pie stand where you can get slices of pie.
You'll get a little buttermilk pie.
Yeah. And or buy a whole pie.
Right.
And so that'll be like, so I'm really excited about that.
Those pies are going to be so expensive and so good.
I don't know. I mean, there's like, I'm excited about everybody. That's a little biased.
What are the hours going to be? I mean, can you sneak in at like 7 a.m. and grab a pie and just run for the hills?
10 a.m. So 10 to 6. But I do think that there's going to be like a late, because we're going to be open till 6.
Right.
So I feel like there's also like the going to be the like post brunch, like,
yeah,
you know, late crowd as well. But
you're really, it's so exciting to hear like that the way you're curating this is grabbing all these parts of outliers outside of Los Angeles and pulling them in, because it is,
I mean, that's part of it, like,
yeah,
part
of,
like,
or at least
part, yeah,
the examples you said,
like, part
are
of
that.
It is that part of it is you know, part of it is going to chefs that we love and being like, yeah, do you have some new thing that you want to do? We have some stuff that we haven't announced yet, mm-hmm, that we'll be announcing soon. That
SGV
Nobu,
I'm looking at your eyes, Zach.
But a lot of it's like chefs who have, you know, done things like someone like Nicole Rucker.
Right.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff and this is their first like thing on their own. We have this thing called Smoke Loaf and Saucer, which is one of the things, like, if you look at our list, that it wouldn't like pop out of you.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? Which I'm super
Smoke
excited about.
Smoke Loaf and Saucer.
Yeah. I'm all behind that.
It's
name.
These,
is that or those the other guys in Fish?
It's these. It's these three chefs who
take that bass for a walk. Saucer.
It's these three chefs who all worked at Milo and Olive together, and one of them is an amazing bread baker who works at Clark Street. One of them's a pastry chef at Republique, or pastry like person who works in the pastry department of Republique, and one is the sous chef of Maple Block, the great barbecue place in Culver City. Mm-hmm. And they're combining to do like a fun Sunday thing that involves bread, pastries,
and smoked
there
meats.
May or may not be an avocado toast topped with smoked meat.
Wow.
Like, and stuff like that. So I'm like really excited about them. Like, there's a lot of, like, every one of our vendors, like, has a cool story. You know what I mean? Like, that's what. And then Smorgasburg has some, like, legacy vendors. That, so Ramen Burger will be there every Sunday because Ramen Burger got its start at Smorgasburg.
Right.
And we have some more, like, fun stuff like that.
Ramen,
like,
burgers still, do people still want to eat those things? I never had one.
I mean, you know what it is? It is. It's the perfect thing for Smorgasburg, right? It is. It's the kind of thing that maybe you're not going to go to, like, a brick and mortar and eat that, but, like, at an outdoor, like, fun Sunday festival.
It's like funnel cake.
It's like a fun. It's a fun thing to eat that, you know, is
right.
It's fun. It's good.
I get it.
Yeah. So we're gonna have it all, baby. We're gonna have it all. Something for everybody.
I like it.
It's good. I got to go to Eddie Wong's TV show premiere yesterday. Well, I DJ'd the thingy for him.
You did? That's exciting.
What?
I did.
Are you going to tell me how awesome it was and how much I missed?
Yeah. Can you tell us where our invites happened to go to?
I got an invite. I just forgot about it.
Motherfucker. Are you kidding me? This will be my last podcast.
Oh, he didn't invite me.
Oh.
Oh, Jason didn't invite me. No. He wouldn't have been. No. He didn't.
God damn it.
I mean, I was not able to get a big guest list of people.
Was Chris Chang there?
Chris Chang was there, yes. Yeah. But he was invited by Eddie.
Motherfucker.
But it was good. It was his new show is very, it's not that much about food.
Oh.
It's very lifestyle Anthony Bourdain-y vibes.
He's never wanted to be a food person.
Right.
Like,
he's telling his story.
Ever since the Bao place became big, I feel like he's been trying to distance himself from the food thing as much as he can, being called a chef and all that stuff.
I was sitting across the aisle from Roy Choi, and he was eating popcorn with milk duds in it, and then he accidentally knocked it over, and then the milk duds rolled all the way down the movie theater aisle, and he didn't know, and it was funny looking.
There was popcorn with milk duds in it?
I think he made it himself.
Oh,
like, you would have to buy
him.
Them two separately.
Nice, I like
it's a good combo.
Yeah, it's a classic movie theater combo.
Is it? Yeah, buying them.
You remember, like, M&M's with the popcorn or whatever?
Junior
like
Mints
that?
Is my move. With
Junior
the popcorn.
Mints with the popcorn. That's wild.
It doesn't seem that wild. It's very good.
Interesting.
Don't judge me.
But nothing rolls down a movie theater aisle like a milk dud, man.
Yeah. Try a beer bottle.
Oh, that's the worst.
That is the worst.
Because the sound.
Yeah, it's like clink, 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 clink. And then you're just waiting for it to hit something hard and stop and possibly shatter.
And then you hear the drunk person giggle. Yeah. And then everyone else hates that person so much.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about this because at 7:50 last night, I was like, fuck, I forgot about that thing. And I want to hear that it sucked. That's what I want to hear.
It was really bad. I did the worst DJ set of my life. Just kidding. It was good. The episode was on Jamaica, and then they had a restaurant come to the Ace Hotel and make mini Jamaican beef patties. And those were delicious.
Do you remember the place or no?
No, I don't. But I feel
shout
like
out to that place.
There's so much. And they were making jerk chicken. On the TV show, they're making jerk chicken where they take all the herbs and spices that you would normally just like rub on the chicken and like let it sit overnight and then you grill it. They took the actual plants, like the leaves and branches that are alive, like still fresh, and then they just put the chicken on top of that, and then they put that on top of the chicken. So
and that
they just,
flavor, like really, like it
yeah. But they like it's extra mystical. The way that they do it in actual Jamaica, like, because they believe that the moon cycle affects the herbs in the ground. So, like, the longer the moon has been hanging, like, when it's about to cycle and go back out, is when the herbs are at their most strong and pungent and flavorful and mystical and all that stuff, and they have the best healing
stop
power.
Stop saying mystical. Just like,
which I love.
Like,
Jamaica's a mystical place.
Just like,
but so yeah, they don't like put a dry rub on it. They just take leaves and branches and sticks, and they just light a fire on the dirt, and then they just put
cool.
the chicken on top of it, and it looks wild.
See, if that's on the show, now I want to watch a show because that sounds like a good story.
Yeah, all those essential Jamaican oils.
Hmm.
Mm. But it's making me like want to dive deeper into Jamaican cuisine. I feel like there's like some shit about it that I had no idea. About
You're talking about voodoo. Watch where you go with this.
Yeah, there's voodoo going on with Jamaican food.
I love Jamaican food. I absolutely love it, and it's there's such a like there's just not a lot of it in Los Angeles. And what, you disagree?
Well, there are places. I mean, there are definitely places
compared to New York.
Compared to New York or Toronto, that has like these amazing Caribbean and Jamaican food.
They're not amazing.
I mean,
they're just
they're here.
They
exist.
They're just okay. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like I love Jamaican food, and there's nothing I want to eat in Los Angeles.
You've been to like, have you been to like Front Page near the airport?
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Good.
And
not good. I've never been to that place.
The
place
I think it's called Jamaican Restaurant in North Hollywood.
There's places along Pico. There's like
right.
Like in West Adams area.
Well, I may have missed one of those, but I've been where I've eaten is nothing compared to. Well, it's just kind of like this. I guess the one vendor that Jason has told me about is somebody who does Jamaican food at, I think that, is it the Echoplex? Or somebody's doing kind of like street Jamaican food that Jason says is pretty fantastic. And that's like the one hope. Because I feel like that also is kind of, it's a very ethnic and interesting cuisine that's not hard to execute on in a sense that like a street vendor would do it as well as somebody with a brick and mortar store. And I think it makes me wish that there was more out here in LA.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. I guess I haven't found a place that
keep dreaming.
Great.
No, but I was saying
that. Was that a Jamaican accent? Did you
that
sort
was,
of, or was it like in between? Like you couldn't really decide if you wanted to do it or not.
Rice and peas.
But so wait,
that means yes.
I forgot. Is the vendor the guy who does the Jamaican food at the Echoplex?
Los Globos.
Los Globos. But that's what I was saying though.
That's a
I
truck,
haven't.
Right. That's a truck. No.
He just sets up a table, like just like a folding table, street vendor style.
Yeah?
And I haven't had that yet. I have high
is
hopes
it,
for that.
Is it amazing?
It's very solid.
Do I need to get him for Smorgasburg?
Yes.
100%. He would love that. I can get you
this
his contact.
This is how it happens.
Wagwan.
You guys are listening to it live, everybody. Wagwan.
Let's talk about Postmates.
We talk about Postmates a lot, I feel like.
We talked about it a lot, but because we were talking about it a lot, a girl from Fast Company emailed me a couple days ago because she's doing a story on the psychology of Postmates.
That girl emailed me too, and she really wanted to talk to me until I admitted to her that I've never used Postmates. And
really?
She was like,
I never have either.
I was like, if you want me to talk about Uber Eats, I can talk about that forever.
Yeah, I think the parallel, I mean, she's probably listening to this right now because she...
Yeah.
But I think the parallel that she was forming was Postmates and, like, Tinder, kind of, like, using these apps. Instead of, like, Uber Eats is, like, it's a service. Like, we bring you a sandwich, that's it kind of thing. And there's not much else to it. But with Postmates, there's sort of, like, this weird guilt thing involved because...
You're sitting on your couch scrolling through.
You're sitting
stuff
on, yeah. There's like this fun
in your self hatred.
Yes, and you're saying like, you know, you're swiping left or right.
I think
just
it works
like,
for Uber Eats also.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could.
You only have four options though to feel guilty
well, not
about.
Not anymore.
Oh, really?
Uber Eats is now it's getting into the Postmates game.
Oh, really?
If you download if you update your app, Uber Eats app. Or at least in the west side. I don't know about the east side.
Yeah.
And actually, you guys don't. You guys aren't on Uber
no,
Eats,
no,
right?
Here. In Atwater,
here is,
he
but
doesn't,
not,
but I
yeah,
have
which
it.
Which sucks. So Uber Eats...
I get four emails a day from
it
them.
Now, the top of it is like your instant delivery, things that take 6 or 7 minutes. And those are the things that are pre-made, and they have them in the cars,
yep.
And you just order it, and they drop it off. But now they have below that... 20 restaurants that you can order pickup from.
Yeah, that's West Side. Because I mean,
so they don't have it out here yet.
Yeah.
So on the West Side, you can.
Unless it updated like 2 days ago.
And I think they work more, they work with the restaurant. So it's not exactly like Postmates. You can get whatever you want, but it looks like Postmates. And the menus are correct. And the car, the Uber car, goes and picks up your order for you and then drives it to
your
house.
Wow.
Like, so.
Yeah, I still haven't used Postmates, but so you're describing this app.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're literally like swiping no to
Postmates?
Things. Yeah.
No,
it's not
doing
the
that.
Swiping part of it, but just the idea of like you get home, it's 1 a.m, you're lonely, maybe you'll jump on Tinder.
Right.
And just like swipe through, just so my wife knows I've never used Tinder. I've just heard
like you,
this
you,
is the
you
way
sort
that
of,
it works.
You've gone on a few Tinder dates in the past. they never worked out very well. You met a guy who didn't look like they did in their photo, or they're just a dud, or like, and it never works out. You waste your day. You're a busy person. You have a job. You spend all day at work, and then you just want to go on a nice date. Maybe meet somebody that you like.
Oh, see, is that how she took it even that far? See, I felt like she was just literally talking about how people nowadays will get home at 1 a.m. or whenever, and it's not that they want to go out on a date. They'll just jump on Tinder just to see what's going on and just like swipe at people. Like,
just to see who might like
and
you.
And sit in their like self-hatred, like being like, ugh, like I don't even want to do this, but like I just have nothing better to do, and I'm like just judging people. And
because it's so easy, it's right there at your fingertips.
Just like at 1 a.m. you would get home and be like, oh, like I hate myself, I'm gonna jump on Postmates and just get something fucking delivered and eat my misery away.
See, I have a weird
out.
And then you wake up. That's so interesting, because I feel like I haven't used Postmates because I've heard it's really expensive, and I'm like, I was thinking, and I always mention this, like Dano, a friend of ours, Postmating Kyo-chan. And I'm like, there hasn't been a big sports thing, but the next big sports thing, I'm going to get like $60 of Kyo-chan, because that to me is like, that's so brilliant. Like,
right.
I love that idea.
$20 to get it delivered is totally worth it.
Yeah, because it's like going into Koreatown on like something, like I don't want to deal with parking. But like the idea of using Postmates just for dinner is just like crazy to me, where it's like, why?
But that, and that's why, and people will still do it, and that's why they feel the guilt.
Right.
Because as soon as it arrives, they eat it and they're like, I just spent $43 on dinner, and I'm just going to sit in front of the couch. And
yeah.
Then the next morning, I'm going to wake up and look at all the styrofoam.
That's how I would feel. I guarantee you that's how I would feel.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So the guilt, I see. So the guilt of going out on the Tinder date is the same as the guilt of once you're done eating that $43 Taco Bell meal, you're like, oh, why did I do this? It seemed like a great idea at the time, but it never works out. Mm-hmm. It always ends up disappointing.
You blame it on the alcohol, baby.
Oh, interesting, interesting.
It's tough, but that's like that's the world that we're living in now.
It's not the world I'm living in.
the current generation
but
is
you,
living
you,
in.
Oh, that's right. You said at the head of this that you've never used Postmates.
Fucking
got it.
Trader Joe's, Tinder, Postmates. You want to talk about Snapchat and just make me feel like I'm 80?
No, I don't want to talk about Snapchat.
You don't need us to make you feel like you're 80, buddy. You got that covered all on your own.
All right, now's the time in the show where we talk about the best thing we ate all week, Zach.
I
forgot to tell you, so you can go last.
Yeah, this is our new weekly segment, our first and only weekly segment. But it's a good one.
If you have more segments, other than answering Twitter questions.
Yeah.
Which
oh, yeah, we do.
I have to start?
No,
you can go
last
if you want to.
Oh, yeah, I'll go last.
Are you just checking your own Instagram?
I'm looking at my Instagram.
That's amazing.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing.
I mean, that's how I, because I forget everything that I've eaten for the week, so I'll just look at photos on my phone. And
all
be
right,
like,
I got it.
If something was good enough, I took a picture of it.
I can do it. I ate at Kogi Taqueria a couple days ago.
Oh.
Which is very exciting.
I haven't been yet.
Yeah, I mean, they're not even like technically open. They're still like soft open, but... Yeah.
Where is it?
Kogi, it's in Palms, on Overland and Palms. And
I'll never be there.
Kogi, but I mean, listen, it's just, it's not, I mean, yes, they do have things that are different than the trucks.
That was going to be my first question.
But that being said, like, it is, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they better open more of these. I mean, I know it's not really like Roy's, like, MO, but, and he's got local, which is a big priority. But, like, Kogi Taqueria, there should be 10 of them around the city. Like, it's...
I couldn't agree more. And it is still the best version of that, hands down.
Yeah, no question about it. But what I love about it is that when I go to the truck, I haven't been to the truck in years, but when you go to Kogi, you get tacos, right? Mm-hmm. Some people get blackjack quesadilla, whatever. But, I mean...
The hot dog's really good.
But whatever. I mean, it's like, but it's still a taco place, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. But for me, brick
Agree,
and mortar.
Completely.
For me, brick and mortar. I'm like, I'm getting a burrito, and I love burritos. Like, and I know it's not like a popular opinion to like burritos more than tacos in Los Angeles, but I love burritos, and there aren't really any good burritos in LA, and certainly not in my neighborhood. And I look at Kogi, and I'm like, oh shit! Like this is a chance to have an
excellent
burrito.
This
is a burrito. I can get this as a burrito down the street from my house whenever I feel like a burrito. And so I had the carnitas burrito, and it's not like my platonic ideal. It's not like if, you know, a Northern California burrito place opened up in LA, I would be like, the happiest person in the universe. It's definitely an L.A. Kogi thing.
I'm really in a burrito mood
But
now,
it's still
man.
A burrito. I mean, it is a burrito. It's got beans and rice and carnitas. And then they've got, like, you can get burrito. I haven't tried them all, but I really want to get every kind of burrito and sort of line them up. Because I know at the truck, the burritos are just sort of like...
Big tacos.
Like, are they almost like an egg burrito? Do they put eggs in the burritos at the Kogi truck? I feel like... They might put a little eggs in them. But here, I think all the burritos at the taqueria actually have a different flavor profile.
Right.
So, like, the carnitas burrito is definitely more on the Mexican side of things because the carnitas doesn't have any, like, I think it has a little kimchi in it, but it's not like the pork belly, which I think has, like, that sweet,
hoisin
you know,
glaze
Kogi, right,
or
the
whatever,
Kogi,
yeah.
like, you know, Asia. So, yeah, I'm excited
so
to, like, work my way through the menu.
What item at Kogi Taqueria that you ate was the best thing that you had all week?
Well, I mean, I got
the whole thing.
It was just the whole thing, but I got the carnitas burrito was definitely. But I want to try all of them before I declare what my go-to burrito order is going to be. But then they also do. I haven't tried them yet, but they also do chicken wings, which are new.
Oh,
they've got a calamari taco, which is pretty good.
Battered?
No, no. If it was battered, I would have been like. Freaking awesome. they've got a new like tofu. They've got a tofu and like a tofu salad kind of. They a tofu salad dish, which is also available as a taco. Mm. It's like basically like a tofu salad taco or as like a dish. They've got a lot of things. It's a big menu. It's fun. Lines are already out the door. It's crazy. Ugh. Which I'm a little surprised about just because the trucks are, you know, but yeah, people love it.
I'm not a truck fan. I've been waiting for them to do brick and mortar. And of course, it's too far away for me to care. But like that should be 10 of these, with everybody in Los Angeles able to get to. I don't know.
All right, Andre, best thing you had all week?
I feel like we've talked about Sap Coffee Shop before, but I treated myself to a little boat noodle lunch at Sap Coffee Shop. And this was the first place I've ever had boat noodles, and I mean, up until like 5 years ago, I didn't even know what they were. But it's a very specific noodle soup.
You had boat noodles for the first time this week?
No,
like, you're saying Sap was the first.
The
place
first
you
place
had
I ever
them
had them
5 years ago, or
probably Jonathan Gold or somebody else. And it's something when you have something that is technically of a food that you've eaten a lot. For instance, Thai food. I've eaten Thai food since I was a kid. And then you try a dish that is so unique and unlike anything else. You're just like, what happened? You know, and also we're so blessed with, you know, the most amazing Thai town and probably the country in a very small circumference. But so there's pork blood and star anise. It's a dark purple looking broth and it's unique. It's like nothing you've probably ever had unless...
Purple's not the good. Is not a good descriptor. No. Well, I feel like it sounds like clownish in people's minds.
Right, no.
It's like a murky, it's
a dark,
dark
brown.
Yeah, like
kind
a brownish
of. It sounds more appetizing than blood-colored.
That is true, but it is blood-colored.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's just trying to describe it also has a very unique look to its own dish, too. It's very specific.
But you should say, for something that has blood in it,
right?
I can't imagine anybody tasting it and not thinking it tastes good.
Right.
If, like, no, I mean, like, in the sense of it is, if you didn't know what was in it, I think it would be very hard not to like it just because it is sweet and spicy and tangy and it is it's not like one of those, like, gross out things where you're just like, well, I don't really like this, but I'm doing it because it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. No,
like,
it's not.
Boat noodles really is one of the most delicious Thai food dishes.
I totally agree.
There is. Like,
no,
it's
but
super
it's not.
Delicious.
It's not exotic big game hunting food eating where you're like,
but
oh
it
yeah.
It sounds
this
like
is a
when
very...
you say blood. When you say okay, pork well, blood's in it, right. I think like a lot of people are like, oh no, I would never eat that. And I feel like this is one of those. Oh, it's just
this
everybody should.
This
try
This is a good
it.
Point. It is a very like. It's not a I guess it is complex. It's just not an acquired taste. It's like you said, it's a very easy baseline food where I would be surprised if anybody didn't enjoy it.
It's like when you eat tendons and tripe in a bowl of pho, and then you're like, okay, this is palatable and delicious, and I get why it's here, as opposed to just let me get a plate of tripe with salt on it.
Exactly.
And a lot of people. And then you're like, I'm going to eat it because I'm a badass. Bourdain bro.
Is that a thing? Bourdain bro?
Should
Bourdain
be.
Bourdain bros.
Yeah, you know, like people are like, oh, I only.
Oh, I know what you mean.
I only eat quail brains because it's, a, quail it's brain. The best.
Everything
else.
Never had
dude,
quail
don't
brains?
Be stupid. Quails don't have brains.
They're very small.
The best thing I had was literally last night when I went to
Sushi Gen
with Eddie Wong and his business partner, bro.
Look at you.
I know, right?
And unfortunately, we had the omakase. Unfortunately for my wallet. Yeah. But May, I don't know what was going on with the whatever was going on with me, what I had to eat and drink that day. But like all these things aligned to where it was just one of the best sushi experiences of my life.
Wow.
It was crazy good.
Hanging out with a celebrity will do that to you.
I was also thinking, I don't think I've ever eaten at Sushi Gen not for lunch.
Same for me.
Yeah.
I only go there for lunch and you just get the sashimi platter. You sit at a table and eat it. But we were at the bar. We were right in front of like the oldest, most Japanese-est looking dude. Like, you could tell he's, like, full omakase master, like, really knew it. And the first thing that he brought out was two pieces of toro. And it was, and just from there, it was wild. The little differences between, like, here's a piece of toro sushi, and then here's, right. like, a real, like, perfectly done.
What kind of dent did it put in the old pocketbook?
It was probably, I mean, I think it was probably maybe, like, 15 pieces of sushi.
And sake?
No, I had a Sapporo. I think it was probably about 115.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, like...
It's not something I would say, do on the reg, but I actually was worried you might get hit a little bit harder.
We could have gone deeper.
Yeah.
But the whole thing started with toro and ended with toro as well.
Right.
The last thing was a toro... And like kind of chopped toro with green scallion hand roll.
Mm.
That was just so wild. But like they did the fried shrimp heads. Mm. Maybe, I mean, that's probably my favorite of all time. The fried shrimp head is just the best.
Did you ask if he was going to eat all of his?
His friend, his business partner, was sort of picking at the eyeballs. And I was like, you going to eat that, Doc? He ate everything but the eyeballs, so... I wasn't that into it. That's the only eyeball I'll eat is on the fried shrimp head.
Shrimp eyeball? It's an
easy eyeball to eat.
Yeah.
But like my girlfriend will get the whole fish somewhere and we'll
eat
like
the eyeball out of there.
We'll like pick the eyeball out of it and eat it.
Yeah, that's the prized one. That's the Filipino delicacy for
it
sure.
It is. No necesito for me.
Me neither. My kid ate that once. I was pretty proud.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That is a proud moment.
He was like, is that the fish's eyeball? I'm like, yep. I was like, you can eat it if you want. He's like, you can? I said, yeah, some people do. And he's like,
no shit.
And then he was like, can I eat the other one? And I was like, sure. And he did it.
That's good. You've raised.
Where was this?
That was like, it was at a house we ordered.
Baja Fresh.
It was Indonesian.
Uh-huh.
It was like probably a whole fried tilapia maybe.
Yeah.
And
even to get a kid to eat.
Yeah,
a whole fish,
I mean,
period.
Well, he'll eat, he eats, I mean, if you think about it, it's still like a fun, I mean, this was 2 years ago, so he was like five. So he likes ikura, like when they go to, both of my older kids, like they'll eat ikura. But if you think about it, it's like, it's just a salty version of what you get at like Yogurt Land. It's like a little, they called it, when they were really young, they called it ball soup. Because you'd like bite into the ball and it would break with the, you know.
Yeah, but it's a flavor of pure fish.
But it's salt. It's more salty than anything.
Yeah.
So if you don't really know that you don't like fish or you don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's crazy because a 5-year-old kid, you know, you can barely get them to eat something that's not macaroni and cheese from a box.
But that being said,
or peanut butter
now,
and jelly sandwich.
Like now my daughter is like going through this phase where she won't eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
She will eat sushi though. Like she will still eat the akora.
I mean, she's
but,
from
like,
LA.
I cook and she won't eat it, anything. She gets mad. And then my 7-year-old, he's like, I'll eat spaghetti, but I don't want sauce on it. Like he won't even eat red sauce. Like just like
he just wants butter.
Well, he'll eat butter and Parmesan, or even just like when I do olive oil, garlic and Parmesan or whatever, like he'll eat that, but he doesn't want red sauce. Like he doesn't, I think like the tanginess of like the tomatoes, like he's just not into that. But salty, like they love anything that's salty,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I feel like that's where that, yeah.
Good for you, man.
I don't know. I was just saying.
I hope to have my child be into eating.
It's hard. It's hard. Like, we worked really hard at it, and we thought we got them to a good place, and now they're, like, rebelling.
They'll come around.
I try to shame them. I'm like, how could you not like this? It's so good. You're wrong.
This shrimp and spaghetti dish.
Yeah. I was like, I'm honestly, world class. I was like, I'm going to keep making this until you say you like it.
I feel like next time you do, next time you come do the show, we're going to get into the psychology of child eating.
You want to talk about, oh, I am...
Which might be next week, actually. I am
all about...
what are you doing in 7 days?
I consider my parenting technique is all psychological warfare. Like, that's all it is. And I say to my wife, like, my wife will get mad that, like, her... what she's doing isn't working. Like, they're not listening to her. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you're just, like, telling them what to do in a moment and wondering why they don't... You need to be a certain way for an entire week leading up to that moment. Like, it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game. That you have to win. Like, you can't just tell them what to do, and then when they don't do it, you just yell at them, and that's the end of it. You have to be, like, constantly, like, showing them that you're the boss, and you make the decisions subtly, as subtly as you possibly can.
This parallels my puppy training currently.
Like, she lets them decide on everything, and then when she wants to decide something, they get upset. She doesn't know why, and I'm like, no. That's why you got to, like, decide things when you got to decide things when it doesn't matter. You got to tell them what to do when they don't mind you telling them what to do, so then they get used to the idea of you always being the boss.
You're such a badass.
That's why they're going to choose to live with mom in the future.
She's
going
there
to
is,
mom's
oh,
house.
Oh, there is no question that my kids love their mother way more than me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also a benefit too when it comes to like bath time. Like, I don't want daddy to give me a bath. I want mommy to give me a bath.
Nice.
So I was willing to do it, but they don't want me to do it.
People have spoken. This is good.
You can't say no to these kids. They want you to bathe them.
Well, thank you, Zach, as always, for doing the show. People can check out Food is a New Rock podcast.
Thanks, Zach.
To listen to you do a lesser show.
Yeah.
TheStewPodcast.com is our website where all the episodes live. If you like the show, tell a friend about it. Give us a nice rating and review on iTunes. And keep sending in your food questions. We'll answer them on the air. We didn't do it this week because of God knows why.
I want to thank Yeti Coolers.
Yeah, thanks to Yeti for continuous support.
LA.Smorgasburg.com.
LA.Smorgasburg, B-U-R-G.
Yep. Follow that shit. We're on Instagram.
Jamaican food coming soon.
Follow that
shit. It's
going to
be so good. You guys will be there.
I get a cut of that.
I will absolutely be there. I'm really excited for it.
It's going to be so good. So good.
Follow me on social media at ThemJeans. Andre Carimparo does not have any of that at all.
Sorry.
It's so weird. It's almost as weird as not ever going to a concert.
I would. All right. Fair enough.
All right. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.